happy indeed, dear friends, to be on the air again with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God, the grace that can take the vilest sinner and give him a place at God's right hand in the heavenlies, in Christ, accepted in the Beloved One, complete in Him, blessed with all spiritual blessings, and the grace that stoops down here to earth to help us in our daily lives to live as pleases Him. Now, we've been studying Paul's letter to the Colossians together. We've come to the third chapter in the 18th verse, and it is an amazing demonstration of grace to see the Lord of glory, who has revealed all the exalted truths of the first chapters of Colossians, to see Him condescend to step right down into our lives, our homes, our businesses, and our other social relationships, and tell us how to conduct them. Now, much is written about human relations these days, but nothing that begins to compare with this in its sublime wisdom, and certainly nothing that will begin to work so well or to bring such blessed results. Now, again, in the Bible we find very different instructions from those which we read in the world's books on human relations, even most religious books on human relations. In the world, the cry is constantly, give me my rights. And they think that if they get their rights, they'll be happier for it. God says to believers, you just make sure that you do what is right, and you will be happy. In the world, the cry is constantly, my rights, my rights. In the word is righteousness, and its fruit, peace and true joy. Now, in this wonderful passage of the Colossian letter, the Apostle, really the Holy Spirit through the Apostle, speaks to wives and husbands, to children and fathers, to servants and masters. And please notice that he always speaks to the weaker first, then to the stronger. First the wife, then the husband. First the child, then the father. First the servant, then the master. Now, I hope you have your Bible at hand. And turn with me, please, now to Colossians 3, beginning at verse 18. Wives, he says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit, as it is proper in the Lord. Now, in my own little experience and from what I have observed, it seems to me that it is natural for women to want to be subject to their husbands. Most wives want to please their husbands and want their husbands to direct them and give the orders, so to speak. Now, this comes from the law of creation. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord says, it is not good for the man that he should be alone. I will make him an help meet or fit or proper for him, appropriate for him. Not good that he's alone. I'll make him an help appropriate for him. And I think that the average woman, unless she is taught or brought up otherwise, wants to be a help to her husband. She wants to help him. And when she stays in that position and holds that attitude, she is by far the happiest. Sad to say, we're living in a day in which women are being taught to overcome this quality of nature and to assert their alleged equality, while in fact, beloved, all this talk about everybody being equal is simply not so. Nobody is equal. Yet women are being taught to overcome this quality of nature and to assert an alleged equality, and generally that gets to be superiority, until you find a wife flinging the door to a restaurant open and her husband meekly walks 8 or 10 feet behind to see which table she's going to choose, and then he comes and meekly sits down with her. This is all contrary to the Word of God, and no true Christian wife will want to act so. The true believer will want to obey God and will want to be subject to her husband. The objection has been raised that in many cases wives are more capable than their husbands,
And that is very true. But in many cases, children are also more capable than their parents. And citizens are more capable than the policemen who direct the traffic. Does that mean that it will be all right for a man to speed just because he's smarter than the policeman and knows more than he does and knows when it's safe or isn't? Does that mean we should give the running of the household over to the children just because these children might be more intelligent or more capable than their parents? Ah, no. Order is one of the chief ingredients of true peace and happiness in any society, and especially in the Church of God and in the Christian home. And so God says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is meet, as it is proper in the Lord. But, now notice, having said this to the wife, he now goes over to the husband in verse 19. And he says, I didn't say this to the wife so that you could beat her down and demand that your lordship should be obeyed in every detail. Not at all. Husbands, he says in verse 19, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And the idea, I don't think, is that husbands are naturally bitter against their wives, though many are today, of course. But that's not the idea here. The idea here is that the wife, naturally being ruled more by the heart than the head, may sometimes say and do things that just don't make sense to the husband, you see. And sometimes the husband will get impatient and say and do things to his wife that are not becoming. So he says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. This same apostle puts it so very beautifully in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, the wife gives herself to the husband because she loves him. And the husband gives himself for the wife because he loves her. And here in Ephesians 5, he says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? Oh, he wanted to glorify her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So Christ loved the church, and so the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says husbands should love their wives. Now, having dealt with the husband, with the wife and the husband, he goes over to the child. And he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, this is a very difficult subject, and I should first point out that the word children here, it does not refer to babes or very little children, not at all. This is evidently written to people intelligent enough to understand. He speaks not to the parents here, but to the children. And the word is not nepios, little children, but technon. A technon could be a man full grown. But the point here is, it's the offspring that is not yet of age. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now to all our dear Christian young people, I have a very earnest and loving word for you. I urge you to understand that this passage here comes to us from a very impartial and just judge, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For these are the words of our exalted Lord. They are the word of God the Son to us. Now, it is granted that it may sometimes be very difficult for you to see the wisdom of the rules laid down and the things insisted upon by your parents. But I beg of you to believe that, generally speaking, these rules are for your good. and specifically speaking, it is always for your good to obey them, except, of course, should any parent ask the child to do something that is morally wrong or disobedient to God, then, of course, the higher authority must take the precedence. But under God, he says, obey your parents, and he adds, in all things. Mark Twain once said, when I was 14 years old, my father was so ignorant I was ashamed of the old man. But by the time I'd gotten to be 21, I was surprised how much he'd learned in 7 years. Well, that's very true, you know. All of us, when we get older, we see that our parents had something that we didn't have when we were young, and that was experience. I was talking to the proprietor of a hardware store right near to my office a short time ago, talking about some of the terrible things that were happening in our nation among teenagers. And this man said, oh, my parents, God bless them, they were disciplinarians. We had to be in at a certain time at night, and if we weren't, we caught it. And they didn't let us just run around. They saw to it that we obeyed, and we didn't everybody just yell out at the table. We spoke when we were spoken to, and so on. And I want you to notice the way he said it. My parents, God bless them, he had learned that they were right. They had brought up a man that now could look back and say, oh, I'm so glad they did it. What terrible dangers and perils they saved me from. So even, my dear young friend, when your parents seem to be too strict, remember, order must be preserved. And any family, like any business or any government, is happiest when there is order. And you are happiest when you submit to the order. But if you don't do it for your parents' sake, if you feel that they're very wrong and arbitrary and unkind and don't understand you, then do it for the Lord's sake, because it is just good for you to obey. Remember, it was not so many years ago that General Eisenhower said what really we read in other words in Proverbs again and again. He said, no man can ever learn to command who hasn't first learned to obey. Now, many people think that's not so. You let the child express himself, or he'll be inhibited and so on. Nonsense. I was paddled many a time, and my father was a disciplinarian if there ever was one, and I thank God for it. I'm sure that that is where leadership comes from, and leaders come not from homes where the children can do anything they want to, but from homes where they have learned to obey, so that later they learn how to give commands justly. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, we read actually about the day that very evidently we're living in. We're living in a day when people don't even try to bring up their children anymore. They don't try to train them. They just let them express themselves and let them go their way and don't do anything to try to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you know the Apostle Paul predicted this. Listen to what he said in 2 Timothy 3, the first three verses. This know also, this understand also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, beloved, do you want to be in the middle of a list like that? I surely do not, but that is one of the indications that we are living in the last days of this dispensation of grace. The disobedience of children to their parents, I say, is one of these indications. So if not for your parents' sake, at least for your own sake and for the Lord's sake, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And, my dear friend, if it should seem that I'm speaking longer to children than I do to any other category here, please believe that I'm not trying to preach to you, not at all. I'm doing this only because I realize how difficult it was for me to learn that my parents were actually looking out for my good. When they were angry and spanked me, I thought they were just angry and spanked me. Ah, no. Part of their anger arose from the fear that I might go off in the wrong direction and become the kind of a son that would make them bow their heads in shame. There is a saying, it's been repeated many, many times, far better that the children should cry than the parents. Because the children just cry because for a time something is denied to them or they're punished for something. Ah, but when the parents cry, that's far more serious. It means that something very, very wrong has taken place. Something very unfortunate, some catastrophe. So children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, having dealt with the child again and said, now you obey your parents in everything, then he goes to the parents. How reasonable, how fair, how just. Fathers, he says, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. As the children can become exasperated with their parents and say, they don't understand me, just so the parents can become very exasperated with their children. Don't forget that. And sometimes they begin to do things, just because they're angry at that child or exasperated with him. God says, don't do it. Don't provoke your children to anger, and don't say and do things that will cause them to be discouraged. Sometimes they can talk so big, but they're really not big. They're still tender plants, easily hurt and easily discouraged. So fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The good father will train and discipline his child, but will not needlessly irritate and aggravate, and certainly not discourage them. My dear dad, as I said, was a disciplinarian if there ever was one. He ruled our household of 8 children with a firm hand. Oh, thank God for it. But he loved us too, and every one of us knew it. He would take us on his knee when we were really too old to be sitting there. Take us on his knee and fondle us and say things to encourage us and so on. A wonderful dad and wonderful mother. And I thank God for them. And I know this, that when a child is trained and disciplined in the right way, he won't hate you parents for it. Not at all. My brother had come home from Africa some years ago, and he had to go out on deputation work with his wife, and we were to take care of 2 of the children, 2 boys. And before they left, before my brother and his wife left, they said to me, listen, please do us a favor. When they need a spanking, give it to them. Don't spoil them. We'll be happier if you keep them under control. We said we would. But those dear kids, they hardly ever needed even a reprimand. They were such willing and helpful little young men. We just loved them. But a little period came there, I suppose it must have been rainy weather or something, and one of them, just for a few days there, he was just ornery, as we say. He was most aggravating. He did everything backwards and everything just seemingly to annoy us. He just wasn't happy, that's all, and we couldn't find out what it was. And this one occasion, I had told him 3 times not to do a certain thing, and he did it anyway. I said to him, Paul, didn't I tell you 3 times not to do that? He said, yes. I said, come here. And I took him to another room, and I made the necessary arrangement to warm his bottom well. And then I buttoned him up again and sent him his way. And do you know what he did? He went right over to my wife, the tears still running down his face, and he said, Auntie, Uncle Neil is a nice man, isn't he? You know, we've never forgotten that. He knew I didn't hate him, because he knew what he had been doing those last few days. And it finally had brought him to the place where he was willing to be obedient again, and he was the happier for it. Well, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And now the apostle deals with servants and masters. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, you know, looking to see if the boss is around or not, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Now this passage becomes the more significant to us today when we realize that this word servants, used 125 times in the New Testament, has to do not with a paid servant, but with a bond slave. There was slavery in those days, and some of it was legitimate. When a man went bankrupt, the laws were not as easy on him as they are today, and he had to sell himself out as a slave, and his master would pay off his debt. And there were other ways in which slaves were acquired. Sometimes masters were very careful and considerate of their slaves, as for example Onesimus and his master. They got along very well until finally something happened and Onesimus ran away. But some of them were very thoughtful and gracious. Others, of course, were unreasonable. But first again, Paul speaks to the slave. What does he say? Assert your rights. Rise up and rebel. Nothing of the kind. No. He says, obey your master in all things, whether they are just, whether your master is just or unjust. Remember this, God is behind it, and for some wise and good reason, he allowed you to become the slave of this man, and render him obedience, not with eye service, but with singleness of heart, fearing God, and obey him. Whatever you do, do it heartily, because remember, you're doing it truly, not for him, but for the Lord. And verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrongs which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons with God. There's no master and servant with God. So you obey your master, and God will richly reward you. Oh, what a paymaster he is. What a great, wonderful person to work for he is. Now, this certainly would apply with greater significance to our day, when everybody's paid practically. He says, obey your master. Remember, there is to be obedience even. There is rank in the order of God. Obey your employer. Do what he tells you to do. Do it heartily, as unto the Lord, because you're really working for him, and he'll take care of the offenders. And then, having said this again, God walks over to the master. And this, of course, is all Christian relationships. If you're not Christian, you just need to be saved, that's all, because you're in a bad way then. But he's telling how to have an ideal relationship, and he walks now over to the master. He says, Master, pay your servants that which is just and equal, for one good reason. You have a master in